The Bible tells us that they begin to use that time and energy that they had to rebuilding the walls right where they were. And so, friends, I'm going to ask you right now, if you can help out, to please do what you can where you're at. I'm out of time. I look here and I see that it's time now for Pastor Bumgardner and the Revealing Truth. We've got to get to that program. But friends, if you can help us, build the wall where you're at today. Call and make that pledge. The number is 1-888-221-8990. That's 1-888-221-8990. The local number 772-221-1100. Call and do the best that you can to help us reach our goal.
The Revealing Truth and Ignite Your World Incorporated thanks Joey's Cafe for their underwriting support of this week's broadcast. Joey's Cafe is a family-owned and operated breakfast, lunch, and dinner experience specializing in affordable home-cooked meals. Joey's Cafe is located at 6650 South Highway 1, St. Lucie Square Plaza, a mile and a half north of Prima Vista Boulevard. Good morning. I'm Pastor Bob Tarvis, your host for the Revealing Truth radio broadcast. I want to invite you to listen in today as Pastor Jason Baumgartner takes us on a journey through God's Word that will reveal truths for our lives. John 8:32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." This week, Pastor Jason will be speaking on the love of the Father. So grab a pen and take some notes, and let the Holy Spirit reveal the Father's heart to you.
Tina Turner wrote a song a long time ago. What's love got to do with it? Got to do with it? What's love but a second-hand emotion? I mean, Tina didn't have it right. Love's got everything to do with it. Ike was so bad to Tina that she didn't really know what love was anymore because Ike messed it all up in her head. And she wrote that song because she was abused. And she was a battered wife. And that gave her a low opinion of love. How many know we can get a low opinion of love by our experiences sometimes? It gets filtered through who we are. Amen? We're going to get into the Word this morning. We're going to be talking about the amazing love of the Father this morning. We started talking about the love of the Father Wednesday night in our study in Mark. We're going to continue on in that today. And probably going to just stay in that for a little bit and come back to it again next Sunday, because everything I want to say to you today, I'm not going to be able to get it all out. So we'll just ride with it and pick back up next week where we leave off. Amen. I'm so glad God is our Father, ain't you? I'm glad I belong to Him. Our text today is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. And you'll notice, if you've been paying attention over the course of the last couple months, that Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 was also our text when we started our series on the foundations, when we started talking about roots. And our first week of that, the second week, we talked about the wise man that built his house upon the rock. But this is the text of that scripture. And these messages kind of tie back into that, because how many know love is the foundation? Isn't that right? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height." I mean, the comprehension and understanding are two different things. I mean, you can comprehend something without fully understanding it. Isn't that right? I can comprehend the love of God, but I'll never be able to fully understand it until I see Him when I get to heaven. Then when I see Him, I'll be able to see all things and understand. We can't understand and wrap our mind around eternity all the time, but we can comprehend that there's eternity. Isn't that right? And that's what He's talking about there. Being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Isn't that something? To know something that passes knowledge. That's what He's talking about there. that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. In my personal study time, I've spent a lot of time on that text there, and you'll notice that as I've preached over the last couple of years, that pieces of this portion of the scripture will come up in a lot of my messages, because there's a lot of meat in that, and there's a lot that has to do with the power that works in us. And the power that is working in us, he's talking about, is that love that's being activated on the inside of our heart. I mean, love is the foundation. Love is the key. Love is the basis of all humanity. It's the basis of existence. It's the basis of life itself. Paul said, I want to get this thing that's beyond knowing. He prayed that the love of God would be revealed to us. But how many know that love does pass understanding? We can have a revelation of truth, but not fully understand what the revelation is, but walk in that truth. Come on, that's what faith is all about, isn't it? Come on, we're in faith for salvation. Amen. How many know you're not, we're only saved in our spiritual realm. Our bodies haven't been saved yet. Go look in a mirror. You're breaking down. You're dying. This flesh is passing away. But how many know one day when you step into heaven, salvation will be fully manifested and fully realized in your life. And you'll understand salvation in the spiritual realm, the soulless realm, and in the physical realm. You'll have a glorified body. Amen? So right now, we're in faith for that salvation. Once it's manifested, you don't need faith no more, do you? Amen? All right, we're all together. Amen. But today I want to talk to you about the love of the Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for who you are. I honor you today. I honor you with my life. Lord, I honor you with my dreams, with all of my hopes. With everything that I aspire to, I place it in your hands today. Lord, I pray, God, this morning, Lord, that this word that you have put in my heart, Lord, that you've put in my mind, God, I would be able to relate it, God, to those that are hearing today. God, that it would impact lives. That it would change us. Lord, that we would walk out of this place with a deeper revelation of the love that you have for us. Lord, I just declare that in the mighty name of Jesus. And according to your will, Father, we thank you for this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Touch somebody and tell them, my daddy loves me. One of the things we're talking about is how the priority of life, the central focus of life, is love. We really opened this up on Wednesday night. But how many of you know that libraries all over the world are full of books and full of stories about love? And it's probably the most wrote about subject in the history of the world. More songs have been written about it than any other topic. More people have sang about it than any other thing. Society, families, communities are motivated and revolve around it. Everything that pertains to life, its basis is found in love. Artists have tried to paint it and get an emotional response from trying to describe it on a wall hanging. People have danced about it. People have cried about it. Philosophers, theologians, and ministers and scientists have tried to explain its effects and have tried to explain its feelings and tried to explain its results. Thousands of people have died defending love or trying to spread love. People have given up their life. The Bible says no greater love than a man has than to lay down his life for another. Love is the basis of everything that we know in life, and everything that we build in life comes from that foundation of love. Other people have gone broke trying to obtain love. People have become morally bankrupt trying to find love, to the point where their passion has developed disease and sickness. Love is the most sought after thing in the human experience. Everybody needs to be loved. Everybody. God, when he formed you and fashioned you and made you, put within you a need, a desire to be loved. And when that need and that desire to be loved goes unmet, we got some problems. Amen? I mean, love is a noun. Love is also a verb, and it's also an adjective. It is broad and it is deep in its implications that pertain to life. I mean, you know, we could study love. We could talk about love. year after year after year and never fully understand the depth, the height, or the width of what love really is. We can just get a comprehension of it. We can just walk in it by faith and hold on to it. Love is the purest motivator of passion. Somebody say passion. We talk about passion a lot around here because how many know your destiny is linked to your passion? What God designed you for, the purpose that He had on His mind when He formed you in your mother's womb, your destiny that you're on this journey for is linked to your passion. You will never achieve the destiny of your life without passion. It will not happen. Amen. Passion comes from the Greek word pathos. It means a feeling or an emotion. Pathos means without feeling or without emotion. It means no drive, no passion. How many know we just had two really good examples of pathos and apathos in the last week or two? Just on a national level. Amen. So anyone here witnessed the Dallas Mavericks beat the Miami Heat? I mean, there was a lot of pathos people there, and there was a lot of pathos people there. Pathos is like apathy. No drive, no function. When the game was over and Miami lost, there was a lot of people that were like, whew. I mean, Dallas returned home to a huge celebration. There was a lot of pathos people there. There was a lot of passionate people there. When they got back, they were shouting. They returned home to cheers because they beat Miami in Miami. Not only did we beat you, but we smacked you down in your home. We didn't just beat you. We kicked open the front door, walked in your house, cooked a hamburger in the microwave, and smacked you on the way out. Come on, somebody. That's what Dallas did. I mean, if we're going to be real this morning. Amen. And I'm not happy about it either. I'm just being truthful. It's Truth Church. For the Dallas Mavs, they were throwing a party. Right there on the court in Miami. Because that's where they won the last and final game of the series. Amen. I mean, nobody else in Miami was celebrating with the Dallas Mavericks. But the Mavericks just kept right on celebrating anyway. Right there. Amen. Why? Because their passion was greater than their surroundings. They were more excited about being a champion than they were about where they were at. Come on, don't you think that that's a good picture for our church? That we ought to be more excited about being a passion than for where we're at in life?
Hello, Bob Tarbus again. We will get back to today's message with Pastor Jason in just a moment. But first, I want to take this opportunity to tell you about some exciting ways that you can support the Revealing Truth radio show. As many of you know, there are substantial costs to producing, editing, and airing a broadcast program. So in an effort to offset some of these costs, we are looking for radio partners that have a desire to see this program continue every day at 11:30 a.m. Our goal is to raise the monthly support needed to keep this message on the air. Maybe you can commit to $5 per month, maybe $20, or even $100 per month. You may just want to make a one-time gift for any amount, or you may want to have underwriting spots on the program. I ask that you pray and seek the Lord for what you can do. If you hear the call from the Lord to partner with us, please contact Beverly Young at 772-461-8555. Again, please contact Beverly Young at 772-461-8555. Thank you so much for whatever you can do to keep us on the air. And now, let's get back to this timely message with Pastor Jason Baumgartner.
What is the greatest commandment? What is the greatest commandment? That I don't steal from others? Or is it that I don't sleep around when I'm not married? Or is the greatest commandment that I go to church every week? Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, here's the greatest commandment, boys. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. In that is all the commandments of God. I mean, when the writers tried to find a word that could describe what God is, the disciple John said it this way. God is love. God is love. The description of our Father in heaven manifests through what He is. He is love, love everlasting. The essence of God is love. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, God, our Father, is a passionate Father, and He is passionate about us. He's excited about you. He's a whole lot more excited about you than a lot of us are excited about Him. Zephaniah the prophet said, He sings over me as He watches over me with love. The literal Hebrew says, He sings and dances over me. How many know that God the Father gets up in the morning in heaven and He looks down at the earth as the sun is breaking over your life and He just goes to dancing over you? He said, there's Bill. I love him. There's Joyce. Look at her. Oh, she's still going strong. Let me just touch her with the Holy Ghost this morning. Bam! He's dancing over you. Some of us, we wrestle with that, don't we? Won't you just go ahead and imagine God the Father in heaven singing and dancing over you? Go ahead, close your eyes for a minute. Picture what that would be like. God's dancing over you. He's singing. Imagine with His arm out in front of Him and He's going, Chris, I love you. Go ahead, get that in there, amen. My friend Joe wrote a song before he died and went home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ about the Father's heart towards His people. He had such a revelation on the Father's heart. The name of his church in North Carolina is called Father's Heart Fellowship. Still going strong today. Had such a revelation of it, and he wrote a song about how the Father sings and dances and rejoices over us. And you could not sit and listen to him sing that song somewhere way up there, because nobody could sing it up there where he was at, and not feel the love of God and the anointing on that song. I could just sit there and you could just literally feel the Holy Ghost wrap His arms around you and say, I love you. You're awesome to me. I care for you. That's your Father in heaven. Amen. Solomon wrote that His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. I mean, when life comes at us, it can get hard to stay enthusiastic about our relationship with God sometimes. Amen. We get caught up in what's going on, and it's hard to stay enthusiastic. It's easy to understand enthusiasm when you're watching a ball game. And we get enthusiastic over politics sometimes when our guy that's running for office wins. Or we get enthusiastic over a cause. We get behind it and we're enthusiastic. We're marching forward. We're going to get it done. But sometimes it seems that our enthusiasm a lot of times begins to dry up when we come in here week after week, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday. We come to church and we just do church and we just do praise and worship. And then pretty soon we get so unenthusiastic that we just start skipping church. We come once a month. We forget about Wednesday nights altogether. And then here we are, because our enthusiasm begins to dry up. I wonder if sometimes we remain, it makes me just wonder if we really remain enthusiastic about our relationship with God. Where is that enthusiasm for a God that loves us and has done so much for us? The word enthusiasm comes from a word, entheos. Everybody say that, entheos. It literally means to be in God. That's what entheos means. To be in God, or to be God-filled. I mean, it's impossible to be full of God and not be enthusiastic. I said it's impossible to be full of God and not be enthusiastic. If you have no enthusiasm in your life, then you need to look in the mirror and say, I must not be full of God. You can't have it both ways. Enthusiasm breeds in your life by being full of God. Amen. I don't like it when I meet somebody and they say they're full of God, but it looks like they just ate a lemon. Every time you see them, how you doing?
Bless God, I'm doing great.
What happened?
Nothing. I'm happy.
Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, you got to push somebody down to make them laugh. They claim to be saved, but they act like they got shorted on the deal.
Yeah, Jesus saved me, but I ain't happy about it. I'm going to heaven, but I ain't too thrilled. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about, amen? How many of you recognize that if I'm really full of the Spirit of God, then I can't help but be enthusiastic? I can't help it because passion begins to manifest in my life. If love is the foundation of the relationship that I have with Jesus Christ, then can I just ask you this today? Could it be possible that something might be missing in your life? Consider that this morning. This is a time of reflection this morning. Could it just be possible that something is missing in your life? Remember this? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Come on, everybody. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. How do we know? The Bible tells me so. Everybody knows that song. You know, everybody everywhere knows that song, whether you go to church or not. People know that song, don't they? Amen. I mean, you can look through the whole New Testament of the Bible and you'll never see anywhere in the New Testament Jesus look at a person and say, I love you. It's not in there. I've looked. You can check it out. There's no account of Jesus ever walking up to somebody and saying, I love you. It's not there. He never said to anybody, I love you. Oh, how I love you. I love you. You look good today. How you doing? I love you. He never said nothing like that. He never told anybody that I loved him, but yet everybody on the planet seems to know that Jesus loves them. Isn't that amazing? Now, there's a lot of writers in the Bible that tell us that Jesus loves us. Paul was one of them. Paul was always telling us how much God loved us, how much Jesus loved us. The writers of the New Testament who had experienced His love constantly were testifying of the love of Jesus. The prophets of old would prophesy. They said that He would come, made sure that we understood that God was full of love, that the Messiah's coming would be motivated by the love of the Father. But Jesus Himself never looked at anybody and said, hey, I love you. I just think that's kind of wild, don't you? But just about everybody in the world knows that Jesus loves them. You know why He never had to say it? It's because He did it. It's because He did it. He just loved people. He didn't have to go around saying, I love you. He just loved them. Everything He did, everything that motivated Him. Every time He walked down a street, every time He healed somebody, every time He taught on a mountainside, every time He was alone with the disciples, He was motivated by His essence of love. The same love that drove Him to the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to always become Hallmark's best customer to let people know you love them. You understand? Amen. How many know that Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, your anniversary, my birthday, your birthday, they're just days of recognition where we just celebrate who you are. But if you really love somebody, those kind of days are every day of our life. Love manifests every day of our life. Amen? Isn't that right? Your love for somebody is not just demonstrated on Valentine's Day. Every day ought to be your birthday for people that love you. Every day ought to be the day that somebody comes up and wraps their arms around you and say, you know what? I'm glad you're in my life. It's hard to do that sometimes because sometimes we don't want to wrap our arms around somebody, do we? I mean, I'm just being real with you, amen? Every day ought to be Father's Day. Every day ought to be Mother's Day. Every day you get up, you should be showing your love to those that God put in your life by the way you behave. Amen? Listen. Love cannot just be something that you say because you've got a concept of what you think it is. Love cannot just be some mental thing that's up here in your head that gives you the philosophy of life. I love everybody. Don't even know what it means. Some people are afraid to demonstrate their love for God because their viewpoint of the love of God has been put on the inside of them and deposited deep down in their heart through their earthly experiences. So then we begin to judge God by the earthly experiences that we've had in life. And we think that His love is like all this love out here. Isn't that right? Come on, I'm being real with you. This is Father's Day. I'm being real, fathers. Isn't that right? I can't tell you how many times that we have ministered on the love of the Father or on the Father's heart. And when we do, there's always men, especially men, but women too, that begin to shrink back when the message comes rather than press in when the love of God is being shown. Why? Because somewhere in the recesses of their mind, they begin to draw on their own experience and their own relationship with their natural father, and they begin to move God into that picture when you start talking about Father God. We can talk about the Lord God, Jehovah God. You start talking about Father God, and then all of a sudden, the filtering process of their relationship and their understanding of earthly father gets filtered into it.
Thank you for joining us today for the Revealing Truth with Pastor Jason Baumgartner. We hope you will tune in again each day, Monday through Friday at 11:30 a.m., right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. To obtain your copy of this week's message, please send your check for $5 for shipping and handling to 3891 Edwards Road, Fort Pierce, Florida, 34981, and ask for your free copy of The Love of the Father. Pay by phone or simply make a love gift, you can call 772-461-8555. That number again is 772-461-8555. For more exciting information on our church, service times, and directions, you can check us out on the web at igniteyourworld.com. This has been The Revealing Truth with Pastor Jason Baumgartner, and I'm your host, Bob Tarbis. See you next time on The Revealing Truth. Christian Women's Fellowship meets the first Saturday of every month for a wonderful time of fellowship, prayer, worship, and sharing. This interdenominational meeting is attended by ladies representing 30 different churches. Come join us for a wonderful breakfast every first Saturday of the month at 9 a.m. in the Truth Church Cafe located at 3891 Edwards Road, Fort Pierce, Florida, 34981. Again, located at 3891 Edwards Road, Fort Pierce, Florida, 34981. Please call ahead and RSVP at 772-464-7012. And that number again is 772-464-7012.
Ignite Your World Ministries, Truth Church, and all its affiliate ministries thanks Destiny Network and Bishop Tony Miller. Destiny Network International exists to serve pastors, local churches, and ministry leaders that make up Destiny Network International. For more information on joining the Destiny Network, go to www.destinynetwork.org.
And our time is 11:58 here at WCNO. So we are still saying good morning, are we? We are. Well, we had Daryl and Roslyn from West Palm Beach giving a $500 matching funds challenge. Well, we came up a little short on that challenge, but we've had some folks calling and saying, hey, let's don't give up on that yet. We had Marada from Riviera Beach giving online. And that actually came in during the allocated time, a gift of $10. And so that left us $274 away from that challenge being met. But since then, Gene was calling in just as the time ran out. And Gene is giving a one-time gift of $165. And that puts us within $109 of having that challenge met. And so, Gene, we thank you so much for calling in and giving. So what we're going to do is we're going to put 5 minutes on our clock. Okay, I'm going to talk about it for 20 minutes, and then we'll start the clock. No, I won't do that. I'm just teasing. But we're going to put 5 minutes on our clock, and we're going to see if we can get a call or two to come in and wrap up this matching funds challenge with 100.